Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of James chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and asking, Lord, for your blessing on your word, on your church tonight as we gather together. We know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in the very midst. And so we thank you for your presence. We ask, Lord, that you would bless and guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would be honored and glorified, and Lord, our lives blessed and empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is very simply, "Faith Without Works is Dead." Faith without works is dead. And we want to look a little bit into what that actually means. And a lot of times I think people misunderstand this. But there's an important truth that's here that we're not really going to focus in on that much tonight. But I want to point out verse 19. It says, "Thou believest that there is one God." A lot of people say, "I believe in God. I believe in God." James says here in verse 19, "Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So just because you believe in God does not mean that you've been redeemed, that you've been born again of incorruptible seed, that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a work that he does that cannot be denied. The individual knows that they've been brought and bought by the blood of the Lamb and birthed into his family. And that's a personal experience that happens in the life of not some, not most, but every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may vary, it may be different to one degree or another, but here's the one thing that we walk away with, and that is knowing that God convicted us of our sin debt, and then provided, knowing that he completely provided the way of redemption in him, and that we placed our trust and faith in him, and he gave us the free pardon of sin. Free to us, but it cost him the cross of Calvary and the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body. And we thank the Lord that he was willing to do that for you and I to give us eternal life. Not a bone was broken, but boy, oh boy, they scourged him and they beat him and they spat upon him and ultimately crucified him, and he shed his blood for our sins. So I want to look at a couple of things tonight concerning faith without works is dead. And again, we're not going to zero in on those who say that they believe in God. Just be aware of that. So when you hear somebody say, "Well, I believe in God," what does that mean? What does that mean? Because the devils believe, but they're trembling because they know the judgment is coming upon them. And there is no redemption for them, but there is for us. So what does that mean when you say, "I believe in God," right? I shared with you not too long ago, I was talking to a fella. And he says, "Well, you know, I know what I believe." And we talked about eternal life and how to be born again. And he didn't understand that or didn't want to understand it. And he says, "You know, he kept telling me I'm a good person." He kept relying on that. "I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to do the other." And I said, "Here's the bottom line. We're looking to our own righteousness, or we're looking to the righteousness of Christ alone. Listen, if we look into ourselves, we're in a lot of trouble. If we're looking to the righteousness of Christ alone, then we have eternal life, and we have a sure foundation. And so it's not what we do, it's what God does." By the way, it begins that way, does it not? And it goes all the way through that. When you and I stand in the presence of the Lord, it will not be because of anything ever that we have done. It will be solely, completely concerning everything that God has done for us, even, believe it or not, on this side of eternity. We're going to look at an important truth here tonight concerning that. We're going to look at two examples with explanations tonight. First of all, we're going to look at Abraham as our first example. Look at verse 21 with me, and listen to this statement here. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" If we stop there, we would misunderstand a lot.
But listen what it says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? What kind of works? When he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Now, we need to really kind of really look into that to understand exactly what that was, because that is something, believe it or not, that God did for Abraham. That's not something that Abraham did for himself. God was bringing, God is on a quest, really, in your life and mine, to bring us to the place to where we put our faith, let's interchange that word with the word trust, where we completely rely and trust in the Lord to bring us through and to see us through all of our problems, right? And to bring us through this life in a way that would honor and glorify Him. A lot of times, professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ misunderstand this truth and are grounded and find themselves in great peril and great dismay and a lot of troubles and a lot of trials that they don't necessarily have to be in if they understand that God is with them, guiding them every step of the way. So let's just look at this a little bit here. So he says this again in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Then he says this, seest thou, he wants us to understand, right? We say sometimes when we're talking to somebody, you see what I mean? Well, we may not really be looking at something in particular, but we're asking them, did you understand the principle? Did you understand what I was communicating? And so the Lord is wanting us to see the truth and understand it. So let's do this. Let's hold our place right here just for a moment, and let's back up to Genesis chapter 22 to look at this account concerning Abraham and the offering up of Isaac. Let's see what God was doing in Abraham's life so that we can get a handle on the kind of faith that works, right? A faith that works, works. A faith that works, that is working by the grace of God, will produce the work of God. It's not by our strength, not by our might, but by the Lord's strength that this will take place. I promise you, listen, Abraham would have never come up with this all by himself. Please, when you consider this account that we're going to look at, realize that God was in the mix, solidifying in the mind of Abraham what God was able to do for him. Just like he did in the life of David. I know I refer often to that. Listen, just like he did in the life of Joseph. Let's just use him for a moment. He had the opportunity for sure when he was the second to Pharaoh to go back and reveal himself, but he sat and waited because God said, I've got a plan and a purpose for you being here, and it's not just time yet to go. I'm going to bring your brothers to you, and they're going to bow just like I showed you and revealed to you in that dream. And so God, listen, a lot of times we get ahead of the Lord or we sidestep the Lord and miss out what he wants to do. So let's consider this just for a moment. Look at verse 4 with me here. And this is, in fact, let's just quickly read verse 1 here. And it came to pass, Genesis 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Do you see what God's doing there? He's saying, I want you to offer up the promise that I gave you. And I'm not even going to tell you where it's at yet. I'm going to tell you as you go. I'll point it out to you. See, but I don't know where I'm going. God say, I'll show you exactly. I don't know what's going to happen around the corner. Should I listen to the news or the internet to find out what's going to happen? That's your biggest mistake. Yeah. Amen? That will be your biggest mistake. Knowing that God is in control is the only thing that will grant peace. And again, I alluded to David just a little while ago. Listen, if you and I were going to go face a giant who was a warrior from his youth with a sling and a stone, I think we would need some direction from the Lord. We would not have confidence in ourselves. God placed that confidence in the heart of David. God placed that confidence in the heart of Daniel when he was cast into the lion's den. Do you think he swayed one way or the other when it came time to worship his God? After they'd made that law that for 30 days, no one's going to worship anybody but the king, right? And so they set him up, and he knew it, and did it anyway and worshiped the Lord. And then they put him in the lion's den. And you know, the king, he lost his sleep and he said, man, I've really messed up now. And then he even said to Daniel, your God whom you serve is able to keep you. And you know what he did the next day? Daniel, are you still there? He didn't know, but Daniel said, yep, I'm okay, and there's no hurt that's come upon me. That wasn't Daniel, that was Daniel's God. It wasn't Joseph, it was Joseph's God. It won't be you or I, it will be our God, or it won't happen at all. So here's a question tonight. Do you want to experience the grace and power of God, not just in salvation, but in everyday life, to move forward for Him? That means you're going to have to be looking to Him for guidance. You're not going to just come up, hey, you know what, today I think I'll offer up Isaac. I have no idea where, but I'm just going to go run around and see if I can figure out. You'll make a big mistake. Because God's not in on that. A lot of times people say, well, I think God's telling me to do this, and I think God, you better make sure you know. You better make sure that you know. Because God is certainly in the business of leading His people. But the problem is, a lot of times we come up with a lot of our own ideas and a lot of our own plans, and we don't even bring God in on it. And so here we find Abraham. Was this Abraham's idea? Not one bit. Was it Joseph's plan to go to Egypt? I would dare say this. It never entered into the mind of Joseph. You know what I think? I'd like my brothers to beat me up and throw me in a ditch and sell me for a slave. I think that'd be just splendid, don't you? And then it can come after a few years of famine. He thought of that one too, the famine, so that they can come. And he also thought about Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and being thrown into prison. No, he didn't think of any of that. But one thing he knew for sure, God was with him. Amen. Let me ask you this. Is it God's will for you and I to walk with Him? How does that happen? If you seek me, you'll find me. Isn't that what the Bible says? A lot of people say, well, I wish God would just tell me what. They're not seeking Him. God's just waiting off on the sidelines, waiting for His people to call on Him so that He can answer them. They're so busy trying to, you know, well, the world says this and the world. You know what? The world is the enemy of God. Now, God is wanting to save everybody in the world. He's not willing that any should perish. But please, as a believer, don't think you're going to get your wisdom from the world. The world today cannot tell the difference between male and female today. Well, let's see. And I'm sorry, but God's not sorry. Male and female, He created them with a plan and a purpose. And so all they're revealing is they're so far removed from the truth, they're lying to themselves and wanting to believe all. And they're not happy. And they will never find fulfillment and contentment, but they shake their fist at the truth and desire to walk in the lie. And the Bible says because they love their sin more than they do God. And so we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that. We're so worried and so concerned that we might offend them. I wonder what we think about offending our God. We ought to be more concerned about that. And believers ought to have more gumption to stand up for what's right than to start looking and acting like the world. There are people who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my goodness, you couldn't tell them, you couldn't tell the difference if they were in the world or if they belonged to the Lord. The Bible says this, I'll make you a different people. You're not going to be like them. Now, listen, that's God's work. And that doesn't mean that we glory in that, but God says, come out from among them. I'm calling you, for sure, I'm calling you to be separate from them. That you're going to be different, but they may not like me. Well, I got newsflash. They won't like you. Because Jesus said the world hated Him, and if they hated Him, guess what? They're going to hate you too. Because they don't know. But that still doesn't mean that we can't reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it will be the working of the Holy Spirit that will bring conviction into them. I'm telling you, we have gotten soft, and we have allowed, believers have allowed, because we were afraid of offending the world. I don't know how much we care about offending our God, but we certainly are tiptoeing through the tulips because we're afraid we might offend the world. Jesus said, you know what? I hope you're not ashamed of me, because I'm not ashamed of you, and I'm not ashamed to call you my brother and sister. I'm not ashamed to call you part of my family. That's pretty powerful. So let's consider this as we look at this. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, verse 2, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now the world would take this and twist it upside down, because the carnal mind does not understand spiritual things. But now watch this, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of the which God had told him. He says, I'm going to follow the Lord, and he's going to guide me. He believed that the Lord was going to reveal this. So what happens here? Then on the third day, you got to get that. He's been traveling for 3 days. On the third day, how long was the Lord in the earth for? Oh, 3 days. It's a picture of God the Father offering up his son. So here he is for 3 days, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham, by the way, listen, you think Abraham had any thoughts about what he was doing those 3 days? Surely he did. Do you think maybe some of it didn't make any sense to him? But he was having confirmation by the Spirit of God. The same thing with David, the same thing with Joseph, the same thing with Daniel. Do you think everything always made sense to them? No. But they trusted the Lord, and God showed himself true. So, look what he says here in verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Do you see how Abraham saw this? He would have never come to this on his own. God brought him here, not just physically, but spiritually. And it says again, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He was completely confident. The New Testament reveals that somehow Abraham believed that Isaac was going to be, you know, he was going to be resurrected if he followed it through. So he had so much confidence, fathom this, that he was willing to kill his son to offer him a burnt sacrifice. Now, I would dare say that God's not asked us to do that. But can we trust him in everything? If Abraham can trust him with the life of his son? By the way, that God gave him. Can God trust us with everything that he's entrusted to us and given us? Can God? He should be able to, shouldn't he? Do you know that everything you have and I have, our physical being, our intellect, our abilities, our disabilities, whatever you want to look at them, they've all been given to us by the Lord. And God's just saying, can you place that in my hands? Can you trust me with it? Do you have faith in me? Can you trust me with it? All right. So look what the Lord is doing. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, this is amazing, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now listen to this. And Abraham said, my son, you are it. No. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them went together. He was convinced of it. God led him through this whole process. So when we go back, let's go back to our text, back to the book of James. And let's just look at this here. Ready? Verse 21, James 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, that was all God. Do you know what the work was? It was God working through Abraham because Abraham had sought out the Lord, had proved the Lord, and developed a trust for him. The only way that you and I will have faith in God is by having experiences that bring us to the place to where we trust Him. How do you trust a good friend? They've proved themselves to you time and time again. Time and time again. Time and time again. They know you're going to be there. Why? Because you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there. And you made all different kinds of ways to make sure that you were there for them. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. But today, believers are not proving the Lord, they're proving themselves. Believers are trying to do everything and manufacture everything for themselves. God is not wanting us to work in our strength, is He? Is God wanting us to do the works in our strength? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect or mature? By works. See, we will never grow in Christ unless we prove Him. Unless we prove Him. Let me just share it with you. Let me give you a case in point. Is the church spiritual? Is that something God ordained and created? Is the church spiritual? Is this our Sunday morning crowd? Just saying, is this our Sunday morning crowd? Does the Bible say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? How will we ever seek the Lord if we're not even in His house? And I'm not trying to shame anybody on Sunday morning that's not here tonight. But listen, every time the church doors are open, if we believe by faith, if we believe in this relationship of the Lord, and we're not even coming to His house, we've allowed other things to enter in. So if we can't even, how much can God trust us? Can we not make our schedules so that we can be in the house of God? I mean, I understand sometimes that may be an impossibility, but certainly not a rule. So it's important for God's people to be in His house. Else, how are they going to grow in faith? Well, they can study it on their own, but the Bible says that He created the church to be His bride, to be His body. So I dare say the church is pretty important to the Lord. How important is it to the church? Not as important as it should be. People say, well, I'll make it to church, I won't make it to church. Well, you misunderstand then what God thinks about the church. It's important to Him. And how does that happen? God's got to put that in you. And we've got to seek Him to do that work in us. If we're really in the Word of God at home, we're going to see church is important. We're going to see that. And we ought to be getting that at home, and we ought to be faithful to the attendance of God's house. So, ready? Let's continue on and we're done. So he says this, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or put into his account unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. You know, did Abraham seek out God? When God said, here's what I want you to do, did Abraham do it? I didn't say he didn't fail. He failed sometimes, didn't he? Came up with some doozies, right? But you know what? You know what God saw in him? He was still wanting to know. He was still seeking. He still wanted God, even though he veered off course. See, you can work with somebody that's still there. It's still there. It's when they stop being there, you can't do anything. But if they're still there and they're still seeking and they still want something with the Lord, God's not finished with them. So let's look on and see what happens here. Verse 24. You see then, James is saying, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Let's put this together. By what works? By God's work in the believer. Is there any of God's work in the devils? No. But they believe God. But they tremble. But there's no work of God. Why? They want nothing to do with God. They chose Lucifer over God. Do you think God's people today might be choosing something else first other than God? God says, you got to put me first if you want to walk with me. If you want to be my disciple, guess what? You can't put your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children. You can't put anything in front of him. Do you think God means business? He's not playing games. How do we know that? He gave us his son. It's pretty serious. This whole idea of salvation and a relationship with him is vitally important. And people say, well, I'll just do it this way. I'll just do it that way. You can. You're free to do so. Don't expect much. Don't expect much. And don't expect a whole lot of stability either. And don't expect any kind of a foundation that's going to stand. The storm's going to come and the foundation's going to fall apart. And then where will you be? God's not mocked. Everybody here and in this world is free. God makes nobody serve him. Nobody. In fact, he tells you, I want you to know something. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He says, I'm going to tell you up front, you choose to follow me, I'm not going to tell you it's easy. In fact, he's going to tell you quite the opposite. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But I want you to know something else. If you don't serve God, you're going to have trials and tribulation as the sparks fly upward, because that's just a lot of mankind. That's just a lot. Why? We're depraved. We stepped away from the Lord and sin has come into the world. And it's not going to be easy on this side, but it will be blessed by the Lord if we walk with him and seek to. All right. Verse 25, and this is the last example here. This is Rahab. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Why did she do that? She'll tell you God. She'll tell you God. She'll tell you, I felt the fear of God and knew judgment was coming. She knew it was coming. She said, I will protect these men because I know this place is going down. And you know what? Listen, this world's going down. I don't know why we'd want to try to save it. You can't. I'd rather walk with the Lord and allow him to use me and empower my life to walk with him and him be glorified and me experience the grace of God in such a way that the world can see the love of God. So, likewise, verse 25, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If God's not working in our life, he says we've got a dead faith. It's just that simple. We've got a dead faith. Doesn't have to be. It's something that we've neglected, and it has died. And by the way, listen, James is not talking to the world. He's talking to believers. It's important. God wants us to know that faith without works is dead, even at this stage in our relationship with him. Who and what are we pursuing in life? And if it's not him, we're not going to have the joy of the Lord like he has provided for us, or his peace. So tonight, God says, listen, reminder, we're nothing without God. We can do nothing without him. And the faith of the trust that will be seen will be all to the glory of the Lord. Do you think Daniel would say, I'm such a great man of faith? Or would he say, God is so faithful? All of the saints that have glorified the Lord, would Paul tell you it was him? He says, not me, it's Christ in me. Isn't that what he said? It's Christ in me. You know what God is wanting you and I to experience? Christ in us. Christ in us. Our choice. Amen. God's not willing. God wants everybody to be found faithful when he returns that belongs to him. And in so doing so, we will spread the light and the love of God into a lost and dying world. The world doesn't understand it, but if they can't see it, they'll understand it less. But if we allow the Lord to have His will and seek it in our lives, great and mighty things, He says, will take place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word, the understanding that You bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that You would bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. And we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.